Good afternoon and welcome aboard. Happy Wednesday to you. John McGinnis with you, News Radio KPK. Hope you're having a great day in this smoky, hazy valley in which we're living and doing business today. And I find myself thinking about it, complaining, grumbling, because I don't like the smoke and my eyes burn and my voice is in and out. And then I think about the poor souls who have been so deeply and tragically and profoundly harmed by the fire. It's devastating. So we're going to talk about that later in the program in terms of what's going on there, the efforts to fight the fires, and I'll share with you a conversation I had with a couple of strike team guys coming back to this area from the fires today, and some things they told me in terms of their observations about defensible property around homes and how that can really help, because that might be something for people to know. And just kind of get the whole thing in context in terms of where this stands in terms of historical destructive fires in the state of California. And in that fire, this is not the first and so far not the worst. I hope it does not become the worst, but as of now, it's not. In fact, not even the second worst. Looks like it's around number three over time. If you look back in fairly recent history, there were some devastating fires, 25 lives lost in the Oakland Hills fire, the tunnel fire back in 1991. So we'll get into that as we work our way through the program. But first of all, I'm going to talk about something that I honestly had hoped to not talk about, but I think it kind of screams for it because there's so many different dimensions of human behavior involved in this. And I think it's a good reminder for people to understand some of the details, the complexities of people who have extraordinary power. There is an old saying, power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And probably no person I can think of at the present time epitomizes that any better than Harvey Weinstein, or Weinstein. And I'm sorry, I still don't know what the correct pronunciation is, and I don't much care. Suffice to say, and I couldn't have told you who this guy was a week ago. I don't believe I'd ever heard the name, but he is has been a major figure and a kind of a kingmaker. Obviously, in the motion picture industry, he had tremendous juice. And I think it's safe to say, by reasonable assessment, he is a very odd man in terms of what motivates him physiologically and in terms of his quest for personal satisfaction. How's that? And by the way, if you're transporting kids from school, this is going to be a G or PG-13 conversation, not beyond that. If you want the salacious details, they are abundantly available. They're very, very, very easy to find. There is just a ton of weirdness associated with this guy. Not just evil, not just a guy with a weird impulsive drive, but absolutely bizarre, extraordinarily bizarre behavior that he displayed. And among the questions I have, when you take something that has the potential to be such a beautiful encounter, such a great thing, such a great bond, if you will, and to be so abusive in the course of pursuing that, that's when I scratch my head and I cannot figure people like this out. It's amazing to me. And he had so many people who were in need of, or felt as though they were in need of, his approval to gain progress, momentum, in their pursuit of careers and notoriety and recognition in the entertainment business. And he absolutely exploited that, and or at least the evidence suggests that. And there's some very, very interesting information by way of evidence that does exist, and filing decisions that were made. There's actually a finger-pointing contest now between the NYPD and the district attorney's office in New York, with regard to information that was garnered by the police and shared with the prosecutor, with encouragement, with pleading for prosecution, and no prosecution took place. We'll drill into that just a little bit and look at what that entails. But I also think it's important for people to recognize the fact, and perhaps reinforce in kids and grandkids, the fact that they own their bodies. And if you think about, and I know these movie careers, the motion picture industry in general is so revered by so many. And it's interesting for me to look at this, and I think I can be a relatively objective observer because I have no appreciation whatsoever for this particular art. I just don't. I don't condemn it. I don't condemn those who enjoy it. I think it's great. If people like to watch movies, that's wonderful. Enjoy it, by all means. But I've always felt as though it's a bit of a sleazy business, and this reinforces what I suspected was the case. And you hear the term casting couch. That's not a new concept, not a new phenomenon. It's undoubtedly born out of real-life experiences. But this guy's behavior takes that to a whole new level. And it's got such a such a profound level of bizarre associated with it and cruelty associated with it. And then, again, this is not going to be a salacious conversation. I just don't have any desire to go there with this program. We're not going to do it. But why not take the opportunity to do a couple of things? First of all, as I've asserted many times before, and I find it frustrating, if people are a part of your group, whatever that may be, it may be your political ideology, it may be your social group, your social circles, it may be your religious affiliation, any number of things, your professional calling. If people in that field behave badly and cross the line, there seems to be a reticence to call it out, to call it what it is. And in this particular case, it looks as though the line is so far crossed that the ability to set aside his grotesque, repulsive, cruel, inhuman treatment of people, that I don't know if there's any redemption of him in terms of, yeah, he's bad about that, but he's great at what he does, and he does offer something good to society. I don't see that in his case. In other cases, that might be so. Maybe your favorite political figure engages in sleazy behavior, but they still execute the duties of their office in an incredible way and deliver for the public, and the misconduct is balanced or perhaps overshadowed by good things. Still call it what it is and be candid about it. And then there are those cases in which you have legitimate victims amass through the behavior of somebody that's a high-profile public figure, and I think it's just reprehensible to allow that to go unchecked. Now, in this particular case, and these are names with which I have only a passing familiarity, people that whose names I've heard, but I don't know their product, but I know they're a big deal. And this developed late yesterday. A flood of allegations came in against this Mr. Weinstein fellow. In on-the-record reports that detailed claims of sexual abuse and included testimonies from Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie, further intensifying the already explosive collapse of this particular disgraced movie mogul. And again, to if you just think, okay, you know, that's boys being boys, which I've heard to describe other behavior, it's not. And again, I'm not going to dignify the type of conduct in which he engaged on this program. But if you're curious about it, feel free to research. Just it takes very, very little to see exactly the specific nature of the conduct that seems to be supported by pretty good evidence. And we'll get into some of that and share that with you after we take care of some other business real quickly. If you want to get ahead of the pack, 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. More conversation coming up right after this.
The KFBK Afternoon News with Kitty O'Neill. Depend on it. Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio KFBK.
We'll be talking about the fires after the bottom of the hour news. John McGinnis on News Radio KFBK. You can help our families and friends that have been impacted by the wildfires. Please consider donating to the American Red Cross Northern California chapter by dialing #250 from your smartphone and say the keyword fire relief. You'll have an option of receiving a text reply from iHeartMedia with a link to donate. That's #250, or you can go to KFBK.com. It's worth your while. And welcome back to the program, and talking about this Weinstein fellow, and more important, it's really not about him so much, I suppose, because sleazy people are among us all the time. Heartless, cruel, mean, vicious people are around us. But for whatever reason, what distinguishes this particular guy, assuming even just a mere 50% of the allegations against him are true. And I think there's some pretty good supportive evidence that I'm not going to share on the airwaves because, frankly, it's time I don't want to spend. But if you're curious, it's very, very easy to check out. You can hear the audio of recordings where he was caught in a sting And it's problematic, to say the least. But how was he allowed to get away with that? And he's not the only one. There are a lot of people. He's probably the worst I can think of at the present time. But there are many, many people over the years who are in a position of power and influence, and they get away with an awful lot. And I think the interesting commentary is more about those who allow it to happen than those who perpetuate the deed, because nobody can be surprised by the inherent evil that exists in humankind. It's there. We know that. But why do people allow it to continue? I'm going to get your calls in just a moment, but I want to share with you some other evidence and thing I find very interesting. And you can find, NBC News has released it. It's easy, very easy to find. In fact, I'll put it on my website. But the NYPD and the Manhattan DA's office are in a bit of a finger-pointing war or battle, I suppose, because the DA's office claims that they did not have sufficient evidence to prosecute Mr. Weinstein when the NYPD brought evidence of criminality supported by this recording that came out of a sting. Again, you can, if you want to hear the salacious details, it's out there. You can definitely get it. But the concept is true that that audio recording standing on its face needs to be corroborated. But you've got a victim that came forward, a 22-year-old woman who was an actress and in a high profile position. And she did. She absolutely corroborated what you'd be inclined to hear on that tape. This goes back to 2015. So this is not a new development. And think about the number of victims he has amassed in the ensuing time since 2015 when this broke. And, of course, there's allegations that go far, far beyond that. Let's get your calls. 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. Let's check in with Pamela in Sacramento. Pamela, good afternoon. Welcome to the conversation.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
There are so many aspects of this, and you're raising some really good ones, of course, like your show always does. I'm just thinking about the phrases that he used to pressure and intimidate women. You know, this is how you succeed in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Can we then imagine how the women who have been in his films must feel about defending their reputation? I mean, how do you even touch that, as they say, with a 10-foot pole?
Yeah, it's a mystery to me. That really, truly amazes me. I understand the allure, even though it's not my cup of tea. I understand the allure of making a fortune and being on the silver screen and being famous and have access to things that other people don't get. I understand that concept. But to give up so much of yourself for that and to allow this this kind of boorish, piggish criminal behavior to continue... I guess because there's an insufficient level of self-respect on the part of the people who have been victimized by him, some of whom are, as I understand it, are big Hollywood names now that most people know. Your point's well taken. And again, I think the analysis on this is really, frankly, more about them than it is him. But it's not limited to this, because look at political figures. Look at it. Look at people in the clergy. Look at teachers. It's endless, really, the number of professions and callings and vocations where this kind of behavior has been allowed to perpetuate, because for whatever reason people succumb to the prestige and the significance, the prominence that they have, and then of course those who speak out are oftentimes ridiculed and condemned, and I think that's a major part of the problem. I appreciate the call, Pamela, very much. Let's check in with Michael in Shingle Springs. Michael, good afternoon. Welcome to the conversation.
Good afternoon, Sheriff.
How are you?
I'm a 30-year cop myself, having worked in California, so I'm not totally up on all New York stuff.
Yeah.
But when I heard the facts of that New York City case that you referenced,
yeah,
and the phone call, which I would describe as a pretext phone call,
yep,
meaning that with the cops listening in, they directed her, the victim, to call the guy back and basically attempt to get his...
Yeah, he incriminated himself, yeah.
He clearly did.
Yeah.
And based on what I heard, that's that whole case sewed up. That should be a very easy case.
I couldn't agree more. And by the way, that her statement and her report of the criminality is your corroboration to go with the recorded statements in which he implicated himself. No, you're absolutely correct. I see it the same way, and I would be willing to bet that that in this jurisdiction, for example, the DA's office would have no trouble filing with that kind of evidence. And in fact, I think the defendant in that case are probably looking for a plea opportunity very quickly, because that is enormously powerful evidence. And to assert that there's no corroboration when you have a 22-year-old victim who has come forward and reported it and worked with the police to gain that evidence, I think it speaks for itself. So we're on the same page, Michael. I agree 100%. We are going to transition into fire chat after we take care of some other business. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Team coverage of the Northern California wildfires continues tomorrow on the KFBK Morning News 5 to 9 and 24-7 on the iHeartRadio app.
Transitioning into the fire conversation, John McGinnis with you on News Radio KFBK. Just a reminder that you can help our family and friends that have been impacted by the wildfires. Please consider donating to the American Red Cross Northern California chapter by dialing #250 from your smartphone and simply say the keywords fire relief. You'll have an option of receiving a text reply from iHeartMedia with a link to donate. That's #250, or you can go directly to kfbk.com. It is a very, very, very worthwhile cause. And as you look at the devastation of this, it's incredible to me. And I find myself reminding myself to look at things in context as I lament the fact that we've got unpleasant smog hanging around here and smoke. These people's lives have been truly, truly changed forever in many cases, some lost. Sad story about a couple 98 and 100 years of age, respectively, who lost their life in the fire. So this is, it is devastating, and you're going to hear all kinds of things said about it. It's the death toll now is at 21, but all of the informed people looking at the devastation and destruction are anticipating that as they go in and actually begin the process of checking the rubble, the remains of what was there in the ash, they're going to find more evidence of people who did not make it. So the firefighters are battling deadly blazes throughout the area. Again, 21 people confirmed dead. Most of the fires were ignited on Sunday, driven by winds of up to 79 miles per hour and very, very dry conditions, of course, with the north wind. The winds died down earlier in the week, but gusts around 40 miles per hour are possible today, and no rain is forecast for the next several days. So the impact is overwhelming. There's a couple things to think about as you look at this this kind of a scenario in terms of what it means. I have been to a couple of wildland fires, several over the years, and it always seemed to me, and I was never charged with the responsibility of fighting fire, which I would am happy for. That's an incredible task, and my responsibility was always to maintain peace and restore people's property, to prevent looting. That was our charge. And the firefighters were on the front line. We have even worked with inmate firefighters. And I was always struck by the fact that historically, on I think every single wildfire I found myself in the midst of, there seemed to be a pretty good ability to contain it so the spread would not be as rapid as it appears to be in this particular case. So I think there's some things that that must be unusual in this particular series of fires, and I suspect that the very wet winter we had increased the growth, the vegetation. That probably is a factor, but the speed at which this particular series of fires seems to be spreading is overwhelming. And you look at some of the narrow streets in the wine country in particular, with narrow curving streets. Remember, there's no power in there, and the smog knocks out any ambient light that would come from the from stars or moonlight. So it's extraordinarily dark, and people trying to navigate their way through there is a very, very difficult thing. As you look at historically at wildland fires, there are certainly natural phenomena that that cause fires. Lightning, of course, chief among the natural phenomenon. But a NASA study says that 84% of wildfires are caused by human carelessness. And it doesn't take much. Either a campfire, a discarded cigarette, or errant firework can be enough to trigger a huge blaze. even all-terrain vehicles can create a wildfire risk because the hot exhaust can ignite dry brush. There have also been recorded cases where wildfires were blamed not on carelessness but on arson, and there's a number of those. Looking back historically at the biggest wildfires in the state's history, the number of them that were started by arson is really it's impressive, and it's maddening because people human beings intentionally starting fires that take the lives of people. The worst, apparently the worst in terms of deaths and structures appears to be the Tunnel Fire in Oakland Hills. I was there. That was 25 deaths, 2,900 structures. Of course, structures can include homes, outbuildings, barns, garages, everything. But that was big. The Cedar Fire in October 2003 in San Diego was a close second at 2,820 structures destroyed, 15 deaths. The Valley Fire in Lake Napa and Sonoma was it drops down in terms of death toll significantly. But back in 1964, there was a fire in Wine Country that was devastating. Just in a very, very, very closely mirrors this series of fires. So the as I had occasion today to talk to firefighters returning from a strike team, they told me very candidly that you can see the property where people had worked to maintain a defensible space around their property. And that made it much, much, much easier to prevent the fire from ever sparking onto that property. Now, some of the pictures you see would indicate that that would not really have much of an impact. But they said they found countless homes where the people who engaged in the effort, the practice of maintaining defensible space around their house, were able to enjoy the benefits of that. And I think that's something to think about. You got thoughts on it? 916-921-1530, 800-834-1530. There will be opportunities for all sorts of things out of this, and we want to talk about some of those. Look at how the blame game will be played and other opportunities. Obviously, you see the best and the worst in human behavior when you have this kind of a tragedy. Let's get your calls. Let's check in with, we have Congressman Doug Osey on the line. Congressman, welcome to the conversation, sir. Good to hear from you.
Sheriff, great program, both the first half and now.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for letting me join you.
You bet.
You know, this is the stuff with the fires. This is the kind of problem that rightfully has got to be dealt with by a government.
Yeah.
This isn't something you can put off on an individual business or whatever. So the reason I'm calling is that I think or being unable to do anything about the fires as they have already occurred, other than to fight the continuing flames, I think the action now that the governor and the legislature ought to be taking is trying to figure out a way to get people back in their homes as soon as possible, meaning allowing them to rebuild.
Yeah.
And the governor has broad authority to, frankly, help Sonoma or Solano or Butte or any of these other counties. But he's got broad authority to also waive the application of various rules that are going to get in the way of rebuilding.
Yeah.
I think reaching out to these counties, for instance, convening the legislature in a special session, putting forward a bill to provide funding for first responders or for building inspectors or for identifying where we ended up having infrastructural bottlenecks and fixing them now so that when the next time this occurs, those bottlenecks are not a problem.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Relieve the burden that exists on people to restore normal life to the area. There are also lessons I know that came out of the Oakland Hills fire in terms of the engineering of the streets, which can be addressed, frankly, after a disaster like this. It creates an opportunity. There are also matters of couplings that didn't work right for the various types of fire apparatus. I imagine a lot of that has been updated. But I think if it causes some ease to be offered to people who live in the area, people who own property there, people who want to get back to normal life, then some of those adjustments can be made. But by all means, pave the way to to lift the burden that exists that can make it far more difficult to restore than the mere financial burden and the effects of the fire. Let people get back to their life, get back to doing business. And, of course, as I'm sure you would attest, the from a business perspective, this is a big deal. California wine country is a big economic factor and for the state of California and beyond.
Right. I mean, I had relatives in for my parents' 70th wedding anniversary last weekend, and they took a trip to wine country.
Yeah.
So it's a natural draw, and it's an integral part of our economic fabric. You know, I will tell you, I'm interested in what other people have to say. I will tell you, having had my house burned down when I was 14, this is not fun.
Oh,
total loss.
I think about you know it's a financial loss, and you hope that insurance coverage is there and in play and can help. But think about those precious things you have in your home that do not represent a financial impact in any way, shape, manner, or form, and the devastating
pictures,
blow that
memories,
is.
Yeah. Pictures, memories, clothes, furniture.
Yeah.
You have to find alternative housing.
Yeah.
You know, how do you get to work the next day? You need to take a shower. I mean, there's just all sorts of things that just crop up.
Yeah.
That we take for granted.
Absolutely. It's there every day, right? Yeah.
So I'm hoping the governor and the legislature will step in. They have a role here. It's to help the localities, help these families get back up and running.
Yep. I agree. We'll call them out on it. Hey, I appreciate the call very much, sir. Always good to hear from you. And we're going to continue the conversation after we take care of some other business. Former Congressman Doug Ossie, thanks for the call, sir. Appreciate it very much.
First from Fresno News, 24/7, Sacramento's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio KFBK.
Welcome back. Thanks for staying on board, John McGinnis with you, News Radio KFBK. Just let me share this information with you, and then I'll give you maybe a little bit of a surprise. The Nuns Canyon fire scarred about 7,000 acres and demolished a score of homes along Route 12 between Kenwood and Sonoma. The Mount George fire burned about 5 miles east of Napa and consumed a half a dozen homes and 7,500 acres. The Green Valley fire was an eastward extension of the Mount George fire, dumping into Solano County and threatening several expensive homes. Mansions and the landscape were destroyed adjacent to the Green Valley Country Club. As I read on in this particular article, I see that Governor Brown toured the fire area by plane and declared the disaster area. And interestingly enough, I am not reading a contemporary article. This is from the San Francisco Chronicle, September 1964. So that same area, same very, very, very similar kind of a fire. And it was, of course, not the current Governor Brown, but his father. And interestingly enough, from what I can tell here, it looks as though no lives were lost in that fire, unless it's buried someplace in the data. It's I find that very, very interesting. So in spite of the fact that the damage was every bit as bad in terms of landscape and spread, it looks as though the survivability was much greater back then. Let's get your calls. Let's check in with Bob in Sacramento. Bob, good afternoon, sir. Welcome to the conversation.
Yeah, Bob. Sure, John, this is Bob.
Hey, Bob.
You just touched on a subject that's right on the subject I want to talk about, landscape, et cetera. The media is guilty of assisting this problem in that when we ask the people to give us clear space, I'm told, why bother? The fire is fueled by the winds. And when the winds are blowing, nothing we do is going to stop that fire.
Yeah.
Not true. One of my papers in college was on the Oakland-Berkeley fire, which was after Jerry Senior Brown's. And when I went down there to get information for my paper, I was told by a lot of people who were putting back the exact same plants, why are you doing it? It's going to burn again. And they said, well, there's nothing we're going to do because it's fueled by the winds and we can't stop the winds.
Yeah, so
this is in their head and we can't get it out.
So obviously you're in the business. Tell us about defensible. Here's your soapbox. Explain defensible space. And by the way, it's not a panacea. I just had a photo share with me from my good friend Paul Robbins, whose mother's home was leveled in the fire in Santa Rosa. Just as devastating to see it. And the bad sad news on that is the neighbors didn't get out. Apparently she did, thank God.
Ouch,
but what's
ouch.
Well, tell us about defensible space. What do you people need to know?
Defensible space, they ask for 100 feet. I say if you really like your house, kick it out to 300. Those plants can always be replanted.
Yeah.
But your house, that's something else.
Yeah.
And I've got 32 years in, and I'm retired as of about 10 years now.
Yeah.
So I've heard this every year, the same thing. And now, last night, I even heard it on national news.
Yeah.
Fueled by the winds.
Yeah, that's and certainly the wind is a factor. But, yeah, defensible space. I heard these from these strike team guys today. So, hey, that's it for me, as you can tell by the sound of music. I appreciate the call, Bob. Stick around for the lovely and talented Kitty O'Neill. She's coming up next with the afternoon news. I have the privilege of being back here with you tomorrow. Have a great one. So long.